SEO versus AI. Which one's the winner? With Eric Vikander. The InSearch SEO podcast is brought to you by SimilarWeb, helping you build better SEO strategies with digital intelligence, insights, and data. Hey, it's David. What will the future of search look like when 90% of content is generated by AI? And what will this mean for SEO? Those are just a few of the questions that I'm going to be asking today's guest, a seasoned growth and product specialist who was CMO for the largest peer-to-peer lending marketplace in the Nordics, spending a large chunk of his marketing budget on generating organic traffic. He's currently co-founder and CEO of Zupyak, an AI writing tool with over 500,000 users that does SEO research as well as content creation. A warm welcome to the InSearch SEO podcast, Eric Vikander.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Well, you can find Eric over at zupyak.com. So, Eric, should SEOs just give up now and surrender to AI?
I think it's an interesting time to be alive as a marketer. And, you know, the rate of change that we're seeing is for sure unprecedented. And there will be, I think, a divide between marketers and SEOers who take advantage of this shift. And I think there will be the ones who don't, who get left behind, which also applies to, of course, the companies relying on SEO. But I think it's this change that's happening, in my strong opinion, it's for the better, both for end consumers of search and also for the companies building marketing content through Gen AI and in general, taking advantage of AI for content production and growth.
So you talk about getting left behind. What does getting left behind actually look like for marketers and for companies? Are you talking about losing marketing jobs and going out of business?
I think there will be different aspects of this change. So if we look at the implications on the job market, I do think that there will be implications. But the first phase, I do believe that things will get more efficient. So we will see efficiency gain in all aspects of SEO. So it's everything from the research phase to the content creation phase to the optimization phase. You know, you can choose to replace that effort with something else, or you can choose to downscale if you have a team. But I think that the smart thing to do is just to leverage these tools, and then the gains used can probably be used to do more. It's not necessarily about losing jobs, but then over time, you know, how you choose to take out those efficiency gains is up to each company. But I think for the end consumer, you know, the future search experience with generative AI powering it is super interesting, and is much more relevant actually than the previous one.
So where does differentiation come in? Because what happens if every competitor in the landscape is using similar tools to produce content? How do they make themselves a bit different?
So I think it comes down to sort of the same principles that have been applied for the last 20 years or so in this space, where you should be amplifying what you're currently doing. So it's not really about, you know, hacking content growth through AI. It's more about amplifying the efforts you have going on currently. So then it comes down to your ability to own your space that you want to own. So topical authority, I think, is a key one. You shouldn't be doing like things that you on the brink of your brand. You should be doing what's core to your brand. And if you're doing what's core to your brand, then I think, you know, everyone has their own angle into their market, and they will find their own angle. And it's also actually even easier now with AI to find your own angle, because you have more analytical capability using AI to find those pockets of opportunity and topics to talk about.
Are AI writers good enough nowadays to actually understand a brand identity and speak with that brand in mind?
I think it's still early days. It's getting better, and it's moving very quickly. I mean, we have OpenAI with their models, GPT-4, the latest one, but even the models coming out now from companies like Anthropic and Mistral in Paris, you know, it's getting better. I think it's very much usable, and then I think it will be even better in the future.
Got you. Okay, so it's important to know how these models work and know how to get the most out of them, so that perhaps when they get to a stage very soon that they're better than many content writers, then you're in a position to be able to take advantage of it before other competitors out there.
Yeah, exactly right. So just leaning into the capabilities of AI already, getting in on the ground floor, I think is your best bet.
And when will we get to a stage where 90% of content is AI generated?
So according to Europol, it's you know, as soon as 2026. And they did this analysis from a deepfake point of view. So they looked at all types of content, so video, text, audio. So I think it's quite soon, actually. It's less than 3 years. But who knows how it's going to develop. But I think the overall trend is very clear. And it is early days in terms of, you know, how this technology is used and will be used. But I think it's the difference from other technologies is that, you know, this is highly usable already. Like if you compare it to crypto or something else, that sort of, like, there were speculations of this would be the use case and so on. I mean, this has direct implications on every aspect of SEO and content marketing today.
So at the moment, SEOs are actively involved in determining what are the appropriate keywords to target, what are the appropriate topics to write about, assisting with that brand identity within the content as well. But do you foresee a time in 3 or 4 years that SEOs won't have to do that? And if so, what will be the role for SEO in that period of time?
So I think it actually might even be sooner than that we see the implications on each element of SEO. One example would be we just released our first AI keyword planner. We think it may be the world's first, but we still haven't found anyone else who's done it the same we do. But basically, it takes away the manual work in keyword research. So it's a tangible example of the way keyword research was done in the past was, you know, you would analyze manually and using tools, of course, to amplify your work. You would analyze the most obvious things, the most obvious keywords, typically based on you look at competitors, what's already ranking. But I think the true potential in using large language models is looking at the entire market. So what we do is basically we have the AI guess what types of searches might be related to this type of brand. With the context we give it, and then we just feed it with data. So very quickly, we can come up with thousands of keywords in a minute or two that are highly relevant for the business that we're providing the context for, meaning that you can very quickly find blue oceans of opportunity. This sort of moves the work from doing the manual research to the ideas. And that's what we're seeing with the companies who have started these applying this technology, is that they can focus more on the ideation part and thinking about not doing the research, but more discussing and ideating around the potential topics that they can use, and also very quickly validating whether an idea is actually something that people are looking for. So very quickly, you can look into a search behavior and get the feedback instead of the sort of iterative process that has been modus operandi for now, which is typically you have to spend days or even weeks researching on your own. And now we can sort of move the effort to the idea phase and just very quickly explore different themes.
So what are your thoughts on the core elements that have to be incorporated within the ideal prompt to provide AI in order to write an article that is the closest fit, the most relevant article for the audience?
So I think it's only as good as the context you give it. And I think that's what we have seen some of, is people expect it to be out of the box without prompting or context as good as a human. And then that sort of tells me how early we are in terms of using this technology to support the entire process of content marketing. I think it's all about giving it enough context, and then we haven't even tapped into the element of like dynamic content and what can happen there with, if you think about AI agents in the future who can sort of get signals from data and then operate based on those signals. So one tangible example could be that, you know, we produce an article for a certain topic, we publish it, and then we also get the signals from the data. So how are people interacting with this article? Are they clicking through the links? Are they reading it? Where's the drop-off in the article? And then we feed it back to the LLM, and we can actually dynamically update the content to say, hey, here's a section that people just scroll through. I think we need to test something else. And then we can it can almost A-B test the content. So moving to a more almost real-time content and dynamic content, I think that's really fascinating. You know, that part might be, you know, 1-3 years out, but it's still, the technology is there. Now it's about applying it.
So what does that mean for ranking an article? Because dynamic content offers the opportunity to potentially even deliver different articles to different people, depending on what stage of the buyer journey they're on or how they're likely to interact with the article, depending on analysis of what they've done before. So do you deliver different articles to Google, or do you just deliver the one article that Google or other search engines can see?
Well, I think that's to be determined. I think that there's a lot of unknowns that need to be explored here. But I think as an end user, I think it will create the ability for content to become more relevant for more people. And personalization, as you mentioned, I think will be one component. Good news if you're looking for information on the internet, because the capabilities are now vast to actually serve the search demand in a much better way. I mean, 92% of all keywords on Google are long tail searches. So most of the search demand is actually in very niche searches. So it's actually, even before dynamic content, I think we will see, you know, servicing of more searches that are underserved today. So a tangible example would be, I'm going to Barcelona with my family in a month. I was looking for things to do with a three-year-old. So when I type that query, I get general info about going to Barcelona with kids, like the Sagrada Familia or churches. My three-year-old would hate Sagrada Familia. but what I really want is more relevant information about this topic. So I think AI will be part of the answer in serving the long tail with more relevant content, meaning that the way we search will improve. And I think also today people inhibit themselves when they Google, because they know Google is to some extent stupid, because there's not enough content to serve all of these searches. So basically, it's kind of an imperfect market today that I think will get more perfect as companies start applying this technology to, you know, produce content and so on.
Can AI assist at the moment with identifying opportunities that don't have any existing search volume? Because I can understand that AI is wonderful at going through an existing marketplace, existing competitors, and seeing what the existing keyword search volume is for that particular marketplace. But there could, of course, be opportunities that haven't been identified yet, or a direction that a market is going to move in. And if you manage to position yourself as the first mover in that opportunity, you could give yourself an incredible opportunity.
Yeah, 100%. So this is what we think will happen as well, where SEO will become more real time. So we finally have the capability to serve real-time search behavior. I think 25% of all searches on Google are new every year. So there's obviously a lot of searches that need to be fed. So with our tool that we're building now, we're going to look at the trends and also see like up and coming clusters of search behavior. And I think over time, the lag from creating a keyword plan to creating content to publishing that content will decrease. So content will become more real time, and the days of creating a keyword plan every year, I think those days are probably gone. And it also opens up the opportunities, because there will be so much new search demand based on, you know, people actually allowing themselves to go for the long tail searches that they really want to find but can't today.
So is it fair to say that SEO won't die, but it will continue to evolve at an incredible pace?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, if you take a step back and look at the sort of overall evolution of, like, when ChatGPT came, people thought this would be the new interface for information search, which obviously didn't happen because ChatGPT sort of panned out at 100 million active users, and Google are still the dominant search engine. But I think that the sort of path forward is very clear, that generative AI will be a huge part of the future search experience, meaning there will be the interface will change. And Google have sort of shown that with the Search Generative Experience Preview, which is merging the ChatGPT interface with the current Google interface, meaning that in that context, you get more relevant information fed to you. And instead of having to click 10 blue links, because I don't think, you know, anyone really likes to click through all the information if you can have it presented back to you. Now, we're still, the ChatGPT experience is very early days, meaning that I think there's a lot that can be improved on top of that, which sort of Google sort of hinted of. And the good thing about what Google showed is that the incentive is still there for someone to create content for search engines, which is basically what SEO is, because they also recognize, I'm sure, that, you know, this power balance today of someone creating content for the purpose of getting eyeballs on that content, that's the incentive, right? So you want to get people looking at your content, you want to get them reading and then clicking through to your website. If that incentive went away, no one would create new content. And the large language models obviously need new content because GPT-4, for example, was trained, I think, up to April 2023. And then, you know, it doesn't have any information prior to that. Now they integrated search, but still, retraining a model based on old information takes time. So there will be a need for, like, real-time content supplied to the models. And that's where SEO, I think, 2.0, 3.0, will have its place with, like, feeding the LLM with relevant information, making the searches more relevant.
Job description from SEO to LLM feeder.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish off with
the Pareto pickle.
So Pareto says you can get 80% of your results from 20% of your efforts. What's one SEO activity you would recommend that provides incredible results for modest levels of effort?
So I think it's keyword research using AI for sure. So basically allowing the AI to look at more of the market than you could have manually have done. So it's one of the problems with keyword research today is that you typically look at the lowest hanging fruits with, like, what competitors are ranking for, and maybe some ideas that you've discussed in the team, but you don't have the capacity to actually explore the full market. And that's where Gen AI comes in. You can actually use it to look at the entire market and find these pockets of opportunity which no one is really talking about, but there's a lot of search demand.
I've been your host, David Bain. You can find Eric Vikander over at Zupyak.com. Eric, thanks so much for being on the InSearch SEO podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. Check out all the previous episodes and sign up for a free trial of the SimilarWeb platform over at SimilarWeb.com.